battle of the gods. Some more?
All right, that'll do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Blowing out, blowing out, blowing out.
Super!
Hello and welcome back to Ballin' Out
Super!
We're back after a weird 2 weeks off, and I'm excited to find out just what's happened on that gosh darn boat. My name is Jeremy Hammond, joined as always by my co-host Katie Rose Leon.
I'm the girl.
And Alex Patak.
I'm the secret other girl. Ignoring our guest, who is clearly right next to me.
Yes. And joining us this week, writer for The Reductress, Jess Lane.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm great.
How are you feeling right now after this?
You know, I feel like after watching a 30-minute episode, I know absolutely nothing more about this show.
That feels about right.
Yeah.
So you didn't miss anything then?
I feel completely neutral, as if the last 30 minutes were a meditative state.
So generally when we start the show, we like to start by talking to our guests a little bit about what was your experience of Dragon Ball growing up? Did you watch it? Did you know people who watched it?
I was a night owl, so I was always up super late. And so I've definitely watched it when I was a kid, when I was a tween and a teen. But almost maybe as if the reason that I never got into it was exactly what I just experienced right now, was you cannot jump into it.
Yeah, it's a very, the bar for entry is definitely a bit high. Were you like an anime person at all?
I'm very selective with the anime that I like, but I have throughout the years collected a small list of titles that I'm a fan of. I was super. Are you laughing at me just saying the word super?
Super!
I was hoping you would just be like, I have a few I decided I like. I like Speed Racer. That is it.
No, I was, classic Sailor Moon kid waking up at like 6 a.m. and watching that on like a Saturday morning.
Yeah. Who's your scout?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I'm Jupiter.
Nice. Ooh, that's a good choice.
That's a good call, yeah.
She got rings.
I am wearing rings. I got really into Love Hina in college, which is a super random title. Yeah, right?
Wow.
I'm a big fan of those what are they called? The harem shows?
Yes. Absolutely.
I have no experience with Love Hina, but it seemed like you all had
the name rings a bell, but I don't really remember what it was about, just that there's just like a lot of ladies.
It was really funny. That was my favorite thing. I really liked comedies.
Yeah, what was the
it was like a really nerdy guy had to live in this all girls dorm. It was like his it was either like his uncle's or his, like, for some reason he had to live there, but he was like the nerdiest guy.
Yeah, of
course. So the whole show was him just being like, okay.
It was for people who liked Three's Company but thought it didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, it seems like anime romantic comedy has gone no further than, what if we had Three's Company but with five women?
But sometimes they're from
15 women.
Space.
It's true.
The Love Hina people aren't from space,
no,
are they?
They're regular, very terrestrial.
Supernaturally sexy or something.
I'm just really trying hard to bring up Tenchi Muyo episode.
They did fight. Didn't they fight?
Did they fight?
Did they fight?
I don't remember.
This is
I
very
know
important.
That they were badasses. One of them was like really good at martial arts.
Uh-huh.
You know, it'd be great to revisit. Oh, but I read the books because they were also manga.
Right.
someone right now listening to this knows so much about this show.
Oh, yeah.
Thinks we're all idiots.
That's a big part of
our fandom.
Yeah.
But college was a long time ago for me, and I've tried to forget most of it.
Yeah. What? So Sailor Moon, Love Hina.
And then very recently I've gotten into Attack on Titan, Death Note, and Parasite the Maxim.
Uh-oh. Hot list.
Yes.
So I've been scolded by you, Alex, many times for not watching Attack on Titan.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping you'll learn.
I've not learned yet. I've not even given it a review. I watched a second episode of Anime 9/11 before I started watching Attack on Titan.
I understand. You're different. And that's why the other kids give you such a hard time.
But I'm there for you, and we're gonna watch Attack on Titan someday.
It's super fun.
I bet. I mean, it seems very good.
Yeah, it's got big naked people in it.
It is the one of all of the shows that I've listed. It is the show with the least humor. Uh-huh. The funniest thing are the Titans.
Yeah, and there's that girl who loves food. She's like, there's these Titans, but you know, I'm a little Titan for tasty morsels.
Yeah, and she's the weirdest. It's weird that that's comedy.
Have you seen the cooking episode? They have a special bonus cooking episode that's like outside of the show.
No, then I have not.
That's just like, let's take a moment from our life or death struggle for a minute and impress the colonel with who can cook the best pig.
Have you seen any of the Attack on Titan middle school show?
No, that it makes me sad to know it's out there.
There's a show that's all the characters from Attack on Titan, but they're little and cute.
Like a Muppet Babies sort of a situation.
It's a Muppet Babies situation.
What?
Titan babies, they're also gonna eat you like food.
Fozzie's there for some reason, but otherwise the same cast.
So let's circle back to Dragon Ball a little bit. So you didn't really watch it very much. Did you know people who did?
Sure. Of
like,
course.
And what was your, like, I'm always fascinated by people's outside perception of it.
I think I thought it was really lame. And I was not cool enough
to think things are lame.
Yeah.
But did you keep this to yourself then, or?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was very gendered in my high school. So it was mostly a lot of boys were into it. And I certainly was the kind of girl who internalized misogyny in a way in which I attempted to be as much like a man as possible in high school.
Yeah, don't look at me, Jeremy.
Well, it's been brought up a lot on the show. This wasn't like a, well, Katie.
Fan theory here.
We're going to be late because Jeremy threw me under the bus.
So many delays on this bus.
You know, I definitely probably had a crush on a guy who went as Goku for Halloween or something, you know?
Ooh,
like,
sounds brave. Did he do the hair? No, so he just wore like an orange tracksuit, was like, hey, I'm Goku.
You know what? When I was in high school, everyone's hair kind of looked like Goku's hair anyway.
No.
Just like the crazy,
sounds
like
a good
punk rock spikes in all directions.
I was picturing the Guido explosion look.
Yeah, it's like all you have to do is just put that into smaller, like larger sections.
Right.
Explosion. Right.
They had a commercial, I think, on Nickelodeon for some Dragon Ball Z toy at some point where they gelled the kid's hair up like it was Goku. So it's like straight in the air. And it's like a foot tall, and you look like you've just been rolling around in glue. You don't look cool at all. Does not translate outside of the spike zone that they all live in.
Do you remember what was it called? Dragon Ball Evolution, that movie that they made, the live action garbage movie that they made.
I did
too.
In the theater.
Yeah.
Oh, live action anime films, those are great.
It was real bad. I think the Death Note one, people are saying, is supposed to be pretty good.
The Dragon Ball one is supposed to be exceptionally bad.
Well, because it was it's a Western movie, and I don't think they know what Dragon Ball is.
Yeah. It feels a lot like the worst parts of the Mortal Kombat movies where like there's an Asian character who like, you know, bows and like flicks his long mustache and the gong plays behind him and you're like, this is deeply disrespectful at every level. This feels awful.
The thing I'm really disappointed about in the live action Death Note movie is that Willem Dafoe is just the voice of the Shinigami. He looks like him so much already. Why bother CGIing that?
That would have been so good.
Just put Willem Dafoe in a cool ass suit. God.
I would fuck with that heavy.
Yeah, for real. I would love that
like,
so much.
I know we're, you know, very PC and concerned with casting
whitewashing,
but you know what, it's a monster and
out the window. Yeah, I don't give a shit.
I want to see William Dafoe really. Jeremy,
the one last thing on that note I was gonna say is that Dragon Ball Evolution has got to be like the only anime adaptation in the history of anime adaptation where like nobody cared that much that it was whitewashed just because the movie was so bad that was like the least of anyone's problem with it.
The only other experience I had with Dragon Ball is the really short episodes.
Mm-hmm.
What are those called? Do you guys know? I watched them with my brother. Whether it's like the whole story, but very fast.
Oh, Abridged. Yeah, Dragon Ball Z Abridged. Yeah, the yes. T4 star. Yeah, fantastic.
Though that was really fun and funny, and yeah, I watched that great. With my brother. Yeah.
Their imitations are so good.
So good. Did you know on Dragon Ball Z Kai, they're in like the last season of that right now. They're just up to the Saiyan Man saga, right? And there's that part when they're at the World Martial Arts Tournament and they show the movie about Mr. Satan beating Cell. Do you remember this?
No.
Okay, so there's a part...
Boy, do I wish I remembered that.
There's a part in the tournament where this blimp comes in and they show a movie where it's like, our glorious Mr. Satan saving the world from Cell! And, like, all the Z-boys are there. So, like, you know, Satan is just like, yo, don't show this movie, please. Like... These guys are going to fuck me up. Please don't show this movie. But they do. And it's that weird, they're all in like costume, but then they have like giant cartoon heads, right? And it's just like a weird, horrible.
Oh, wait. Yes, I do remember this. Okay, yes, yeah. I do. Okay.
So in Dragon Ball Z Kai, when they get to this part, the voices of all the fake Z-boys in the Cell adaptation are the Team Four Star guys.
Oh,
how sick is that? Cool. They got to do like a little cameo.
That's really fun.
That's like the ultimate nerd dream.
Yeah, no, they those guys are really living it. Someday they'll have men's rights Vegeta.
I really hope not.
Hey, just to confuse everyone more about the level of technology in this society, here's a blimp we still use. Where are we in time?
I think in their timeline, blimps were never fucked up. They just kept advancing.
It's always like a permanent alternative 1998.
Yeah. But with weird capsule technology, also dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs were big in 1998.
They were all over t-shirts. They were skateboarding and coming into our homes. That's and telling true. Us yeah. about
four
loving
years
the
deep
baby.
Into the Jurassic Park Revolution.
That's
so.
True. We even had a sitcom about
it. Yeah, that's what I'm dinosaurs. I'm thinking of the dinosaurs sitcom.
Brilliant. I was trying to make that joke over here.
Oh. Katie, now's the time. Get in there.
No.
Anyone ever see the last episode of Dinosaurs?
Where they fucking die.
Yeah.
Very real.
I think every sitcom, the last episode should be the whole world fucking ending.
Well, that is how Home Improvement ended.
It's like the same Wonders. Show, basically.
Very similar. We should get into the episode. Okay. We're right. pretty far in all now.
Right. All right. All right. So, the title of the episode is Goku Surpasses Super Saiyan God.
Boy, does he.
Boy, does he.
And how?
We open up on our narrators, the Supreme Kais, old and young,
right.
looking at the sky, giving context, where they're like, remember where we all thought we were going to die? That was a fluke, but is it? And
I used to live in a sword.
My favorite thing in that scene, my favorite thing is that Supreme Kai is like, what happened? I thought the universe was supposed to explode. And Elder Kai was like, he canceled it out. And like nobody is just like, we were just wrong. We thought that would happen yeah. and then it didn't. I don't know everything.
I'm just making stuff. I mean, did you see the weird ripples that were happening? I've never seen that happen before.
So Goku and Beerus, Kitty Cat Meow Meow are in the sky. doing their Windows 98 special effects and making a super high concentrated ball of energy with electricity shooting out of it, and it is fucking everything up. And something really important happens here where they cut to Earth to show us how Earth is getting fucked up, and they cut to the luau that was happening that Vegeta left.
I forgot all about that.
Which means...
It's the same day.
So same it's day. Been, we're like, what is this, episode 15?
Yeah.
We've,
in the universe, it's been one day.
It's like 24, right? It's 1 hour at a time, one day.
So to recap, Vegeta went on a promised vacation with his family for beating his child. And then he storms out. And then Bulma plans a birthday party, rents a ship. Invites everybody. They all fly over there. Then they get invaded by space monsters.
This is also just like Home Improvement. it's just families trying to throw birthday parties for each other.
This is a long story Vegeta is telling about why it's not good to go on vacation.
I'm just saying, like, Bulma's got some really good organizational skills. I am very impressed by her time management. I mean,
it's insane. So for you haven't seen it, in the second episode, we're on vacation with Vegeta, Bulma, his wife, Trunks, his son. They're on vacation together. Bulma sees this cruise ship out in the water, and she says, oh, I'd love to have a birthday party on a cruise ship. The next episode, she's having a birthday party on a cruise ship, which we assume as an audience is like a few weeks later, perhaps.
Oh, nope. It was the next day.
And so now we've cut back to see the luau is still happening.
She is a lucky lady.
She's the richest woman in the world, and she's married to Vegeta, so
she has it all. Bag.
We cut to Mr. Satan on the boat. Who is really, this is a real Herculoid heavy episode.
While we were watching this episode and they kept showing the shot of the boat, I kept on being like, what's this boat about? And could never tell that any of the scenes we were watching were taking place on the boat.
It's a big boat.
It's very nice now to find out that some of those people were on the boat.
Yes.
And as we continue talking, it'll be cool to find out which of those were.
This is what they tell you in the store when you're renting the boat. It'd be like, you'll be taking pictures. People will think you're on the pier because it's such a big boat.
I just go to the boat store, take the pictures on the boat, go home.
Well, they have like these like platforms of grass and like trees and stuff on the boat. It's very well disguised. I could see why you didn't think it was the boat. I saw clips of it on YouTube before we started watching the show. I saw just like random scenes and I was like, oh, I guess they're at like a theme park, maybe?
Oh, fun.
That would be twisted. Just go to a theme park. Have an evil clown villain.
I sure hope that's what's next, is they all go to Six Flags. What was it? Fright Night?
Yeah.
Fright Fest? Fright Town.
Fright Town.
Spooky Town. What do you do at Six Flags? Get it together.
I worked at Six Flags for 7 years drawing caricatures.
What? How did this should be the first thing you tell people.
Oh, thanks.
Any podcast.
That's
insane. The rest of my life is worthless.
When was this?
The year 2000 to 2005.
Wow.
Woo.
And so you're
that math doesn't add up, but something.
It's fine. I'd already disregarded.
Don't look
the first
into
piece.
This.
Yeah.
So you're drawing caricatures at Six Flags. Like what? You have like a little booth, and you just sit there and just
I
wait
work
for
people
the
to walk company.
By.
They hire a bunch of kids in high school. They draw terrible pieces of shit for at least a year before they get any good at closing the circle that makes an eye. Like, it's people are just bad at drawing.
Yeah, of course.
But
they hire you anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, they just, that's it. You know, it's a little suburb, and they just hire the high school kids. And then eventually get really good. I got really good eventually, and then, you know, looked down upon all the other shitty artists and stuff that I went to high school with who were my friends.
As one is meant to do.
But it's a really good job to have as a teenager. I made so much money because you make commission. It's the best job in the whole park.
What?
And it was my first job, though, so I had no concept of what money was, and I spent it all at the diner and at the Delia's in the mall.
Oh, that rules.
Yeah,
that's the life.
Shout out to Delia's.
Shout out.
And
had
diners.
So many Paul Frank t-shirts.
Yeah. I'm sure there was a Dragon Ball like body action picture drawn on the wall at our shop.
Sure. So, Katie, what happens next?
Whis is projecting stuff on the boat. And Mr. Satan's like, kind of feels like the world's going to end. And Whis is like, oh, it is. And,
Wait, and so it was at this point in watching the episode that Jess turned to us and was like, who's that guy?
Hell yeah.
It's Whis. Well, because Jess says she likes Sailor Moon, and as you probably agree with me, I say this almost every episode, Whis looks like a dark Moon Kingdom character.
Yeah, he's got little Sailor Moon mouth.
Yeah.
That little tiny Sailor Moon mouth.
You got a little Sailor Moon mouth.
Like his staff
Sailor eyes.
Like looks like the makeup power wand, not the main one, like Sailor Mercury's.
He always looks like he's about to kiss you.
Yeah. Well,
I love him.
What's not
like,
to
I'm
love?
Really, like, I'm
he's growing to be my favorite like new character on
he's
the
smart,
show.
He's snarky.
Yeah.
He's starting to be not just like a new character, he's starting to be my favorite character full series. I prefer him to Dog President now.
Wow.
I want Weiss president going forward.
I'm not
sure
I can support this motion.
Yeah.
I'll be reporting this back to the dog president.
Also, I found out the other day I was wasting time, as I tend to, on the Dragon Ball wiki. He's not even a president dog.
What?
He's a king. He's called like King Fluff.
What?
There was a terrible coup where he takes over.
He was the president, then he consolidated power.
That's why you shouldn't talk shit on dog president. You'll be thrown in the...
Yeah, I'll be disappeared.
That was during the Frieza saga. They really gloss over it. Civil liberties take a huge hit.
All right. So basically, Mr. Satan offers a pretend all you can eat anywhere for free in the world pass to Whis as a gift to try and have him save him. And there's a cute banter moment.
Yeah, and Whis is like compelled by this.
Which is crazy because he's a supervillain. He's been stealing food for literally hundreds of years.
Yeah, he's a supervillain. He seems to be the smartest, most cynical character.
Yeah.
And honestly, one of the most attractive things about him is that you can still get him.
Whis is fraught this episode, though. I feel like you're getting up to this point, so I'm just gonna let you keep going. But
yeah, so we go back to the sky struggle. They're still powering up. There's visible destruction on Earth, and then the energy ball explodes.
Oh wait, before the energy ball explodes, when we're seeing the visible destruction on Earth, we see that news crew. Yeah. And this is a very short thing. I just want to point out that everyone on the news crew is super Dragon Ball cut. They
looking
all
good.
Have huge muscles.
Looking good, guys.
Good job, Sully. Those union benefits are fucking killer.
Those cameras don't weigh nothing, you guys.
It's functional strength, too. And that's what is very impressive about
it. True, yeah.
They're PA muscles.
You can see emotional strength. Ooh. And their physical bodies.
That's a recurring theme in anime in general. Like, if you really are an honest person, that shows up as, like, a part of your tricep that really pops.
The honesty muscles.
So the energy ball explodes. Mr. Satan, like, throws himself in front of the blast because that's going to do anything. Gohan protects Videl, and Vegeta does not give a fuck about anybody. And
Vegeta notably not saving his family.
Yeah.
Making a special effort to not move.
Yeah, we see.
This is so unrelated, but I just watched that film. It's like Force Majeure. It's a French film, and literally that scene reminded me of a scene in that. Which is literally about a family skiing on a mountain, and there's a controlled avalanche, but it gets out of control, and it, like, washes over them. It's a bright white light, and the father runs away from his wife and children. And afterwards, just as happened in this episode, it turns out that nothing happened. It was just this smoke, like the powder from the avalanche, and they were all fine.
And so what's the repercussion for the father in
his wife hates him forever.
He's see. In the doghouse.
But see, like Bulma
with the president.
But in this case, yeah.
Yeah, Bulma just be like, "Oh, that's just my Vegeta." Like,
"Oh, jeez."
That's why I married you. You don't care if I die.
Death is meaningless in Dragon Ball.
I was going to say he shouldn't care if anybody
Low stakes.
Is Ojeets the name of the home improvement like sitcom version?
Yeah,
of
I think so.
Dragon Ball?
All right, we're gonna have to write that jingle
again.
Ojeets. Call me dad.
No.
So, nothing happens, as Jess said, and then Mr. Satan says, "Oh, it must have been the power of love that saved us," and he gets on his cell phone. He gets on his gold iPhone.
Which says Satan on the back.
And he answers it as Savior here. And
classic Hercule.
I love that he takes a call and it makes us watch.
Yeah,
like it's live or something.
Oh, and similar to that, during the time when we realize everything's okay, who do we cut back to? Pilaf and crew.
Yeah, just still sleeping
in the grass. I really need to know what's going to happen with them. What are they going to do in this story that's going to make it worth how much screen time we've devoted to them?
Maybe they'll die.
Jess, this is 13 episodes in now. Mm-hmm. In, I think, got to be 10 out of the 13 now, we've seen these characters. They've done literally nothing.
They're side characters from like hundreds of episodes ago.
Right.
That they're bringing back for some reason.
Some reason.
They're getting a lot of time.
A lot of time. They show up. We see them on an island. And they're like looking for food. Then they get on a little boat, go to the cruise ship, get some food, get off of the cruise ship, leave, but then decide to come back to the cruise ship, and now they're sleeping.
This is great.
What could they possibly have to offer this story?
Something for the kids.
Hey, you like this? Is this something you enjoy? I want to make sure everybody's having a good time with my Dragon Ball cartoon. So you got Pilaf loses foe in the ocean.
That's what Akira Toriyama sounds like.
The Godfather.
I thought you'd enjoy a sleepy little prince boy. You're a nice little kid.
It sounds like it will be satisfying either if they like have some sort of really grand gesture in the end that like really turns all, everything around. Or if absolutely nothing happens.
I don't know if I agree with you that satisfying.
Dragon Ball is very good at being not satisfying, so I'm pretty sure they will have no point.
Oh my god. We have one episode left in this arc. We have one episode left for Pilaf and crew to prove why they have so much screen time.
Oh my god.
Speaking of not satisfying, how unsatisfied does Beerus seem when he's talking to Goku about his power levels this episode?
Oh yeah, that's the next part that happens. We go back to the sky and like Beerus is like, yeah, I neutralized it because my power is like, you need like 100% and like, I don't even care.
My power is like, honestly, really sick.
Like, I wasn't even really trying, but like, I would now. It's not a big deal now, but
we're
like, you know, that's like something you wanted. Like, I could do that.
It's like real classic Dragon Ball, like just spitting percentages, but then somehow still being vague.
Yeah. And somehow he knows everything about what's going on.
I thought it had this weird, awkward hookup feel to it the whole time, where it's like, somebody's running out of juice.
That's very accurate, especially when he was like, I mean, I didn't want to do it because it was like too easy, but now I definitely want to do it.
if other gods saw. Yeah.
Goku literally says, so this is about protecting your image?
And he was like, no, it's not. I'm going to kill you.
Why don't we ever fight together when we're at the mall?
Just don't tell anyone at school that we fought.
That's such a beautiful relationship. Why don't we fight enough?
This is, what was it, like 5-6 episodes ago now that I speculated that Super Saiyan God was all about finding a third for Whis and Beerus. I think, I've been validated on that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they banter. Then we get some punchies, some cross punchies. Getting punched around, up and down, all around. Punch, punch, punch.
Is this when his form changes again?
Not yet. Quite yet.
Oh, spoilers.
Spoilers!
For right now.
We get a little flat palm barfy barf.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, we got some cool puke.
Yeah, some cool little spitties.
Yeah, he fucking broke his sternum. That was cool.
And
yeah.
Then Goku headbutts Beerus.
Yeah, that was sick. That was
several
really
times.
That's when the episode turned, because before it was another crappy episode, and then he starts Guy Ritchie headbutting him, and this episode got real cool.
Another example of great dialogue. Headbutting is for street fights, not for a battle of the gods.
Yeah.
Puts down script.
Yeah, it feels like an announcement for a regional wrestling group. It's just
this is unsanctioned.
Goku's knocked out the ref.
Then Supreme Kai gives some more context. I don't even remember what he says.
For the amount of explaining they do in this episode, nothing is clarified.
Yeah, I feel
of
like
why
I...
Goku is any stronger. They just are like, huh, no one knows why. Weird. Indeed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When Goku asks Beerus why he's still strong despite no longer having the red god power, Beerus says, it's just real complicated. We don't have time.
I can't get into it now.
Yeah, basically Goku knees Beerus across the room of space. And and then we pan out, we see Goku has gone
back to being Super Saiyan from Super Saiyan God, which is crazy because Super Saiyan looks way cooler than Super Saiyan God, yeah. But here we are, y'all. And Whis is like, oh, fuck, your boy fucked up real bad, but I got this sushi to go. And then Piccolo and Whis share words. And I'm like, oh, my God, my boyfriends are fighting.
Yeah, that was a tight little moment.
And then Vegeta breaks it up because we think they're about to go real gentleman style. And then Vegeta just sends a little beam to break it up. Still doesn't say a word. We're at 5 episodes of no talking from Vegeta.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah. He's so mysterious.
That was, yeah, the last time we played Boyfriend Watch, that was a big plus for Vegeta. He's physically fit and doesn't talk.
Yeah, Piccolo literally says to himself, is he sending me a message? I'm like, girl, I don't know. What does this text message mean, Piccolo?
Well, actually,
what is he thinking about?
Yeah, Beerus is basically like, you're normal again, but like, Goku's
like... Oh,
they
fight pretty good. The yellow and the purple, we noted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the colors are so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Purple and gold.
And the fight does get pretty cool there, but...
There's some like classic Dragon Ball like... panning out and you just see the beam colors going like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I really appreciated how no one punched each other in the knuckles.
Yeah, that was very nice.
That didn't make any sense and it kept happening before.
Kept happening. There's
my favorite part was when they punched each other and left their fists on the cheeks.
Yeah. But kept talking. Yeah.
And then
the
talked
cheek.
For like 3 minutes and then followed through on the punch. That takes a lot of muscular control.
The only important, and I use that loosely, thing that happens at this end here is basically it's established, even though Goku has gone back to Super Saiyan, he still is so strong now.
Yeah,
and
so
we're like,
strong.
Beerus, why is that? That he's not the Super Saiyan God, but he's still this powerful. And he's like, because...
No, he says because your body learned how to be that strong.
Yeah.
Right.
And it like remembers.
Yeah, he's been doing his kegels.
You have more experience
to
now.
Connect this back to the hookup analogy. Yeah. It's like Goku has trained with a more experienced lover and his body remembers the moves even in this new situation and new form.
Yeah. And then they were laughing.
Everyone laughed at each other.
They're laughing, we're laughing, we're all laughing.
They're laughing, and then they weren't laughing, and then the announcer came on.
Nice. This does beg the question, if Goku is still god-powerful in regular Super Saiyan form, all the other transformations are just useless.
Yeah,
now.
Why are
they
doing
mean anything anymore?
Why bother?
All right, well, gang, we're running out of time here. I think we should try to predict what's going to happen next, rate the episode, and get out of here, shall we?
Okay.
Okay.
Don't start with me. I have to think.
Ooh, Alex is getting in the corner and putting on a special hat.
Alex, what is that hat?
If you look at the hat, it doesn't work.
All right, Katie, what do you think is going to happen next?
I think Pilaf and crew are going to Voltron into some sort of Super Saiyan like robot and going to absorb into Goku. All
right.
And then Goku will become his ultimate form, which is way more otterish than before, and him and Beerus will make out. And then the world will explode, and the Kais are like,
Jess, what do you think is going to happen next?
I feel like they're going to float in space for a while.
That's a good guess.
Katie's joke was really great. Wait, not joke. Prediction.
It could be both.
Yes, prediction.
they're going to float in space. Mr. Satan's going to make a new coupon, but it's just that he's going to do all the chores around the house. The cat thing's going to turn into 100 adorable kitty cats that everyone gets to pet.
Alex, what do you think's going to happen next?
Okay, so Goku and Beerus are still, they're having a battle beyond gods in space, and Whis and Piccolo are watching, and they're looking at them, and they're each betting on their boys, and then they're thinking like, what do I have out there that I don't have down here? And then they turn to each other slowly, and then leave to get a delicious sushi roll.
That's so nice.
I like that a lot.
That would be a very nice ending for the show, and I'm going to cross my fingers.
Yeah, and I think that hat looks very nice on you.
Thank you, Jeremy, although now you've soiled it with your eyes.
Yeah, but you're done with your prediction, so I think it's okay. Well, I think we're going to find out why Vegeta hasn't been talking for the last 6 episodes.
I've been pooping.
I was just going to say. He's just constipated.
Nobody
complimented his haircut.
The fight's going to end. Goku's going to come back to the ship. He's going to be like, how's it going, Vegeta? And Vegeta's going to be like, I have a very bad cold. I'm sorry.
What's Yamcha up to?
I'm only making it worse. I'm only making it worse. I should really go home. I just got so mad at my son. All right, Katie, out of 7 Dragon Balls, what do you give this episode?
You know, despite not a lot happening, it was surprisingly watchable. I don't know if it's because we've had a lot of time away from the Z-Boys, but I'll give it a 5 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Nice, not bad. Alex, out of 7 Dragon Balls.
Miss damn Z-Boys. I support Katie in all things, but especially this prediction. it was very watchable, but we didn't all stop what we were doing and clap like we did for that last episode.
It's true.
So I'm going to also give it a 5 out of 7.
All right, 5 out of 7. Jess?
You know, I'm going to go with a really neutral score based on my neutral experience, but I'll give it a little oomph, and I'll go 4 out of 7.
That's generous, Jess.
Thank you.
Generous Jess. Yeah. At it again.
I think I'm going with you guys. 5 out of 7 Dragon Balls.
What a reasonable review corner this was.
Okay. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for this week. Jess, where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, I have a website, notjesslane.com.
Notjesslane.com. All right. Alex, what do you got?
I have a website. It's jesslane.com. check it out. Or go to my website, which is a real one, at alexpatak.com. And you can see all the pictures I had my friend take of me in a blizzard where I'm wearing a bathing suit. So it's kind of like, what's he wearing a bathing suit for? It's a blizzard.
Nice. All right, Katie.
You can find me at Katie Rose on Twitter, or at Oh Hello Katie Rose on Instagram. I'm enjoying all you very socially awkward 17-year-olds rolling up into my DMs. Woo. Keep it coming. And shout out to Joe Strix, who for some reason listens to all of our podcasts.
It's a stretch limousine in Katie's DMs, and we're going to prom.
If I could get out from under this bus.
All right. Well, that was a good enough callback. I'm not gonna plug anything. Subscribe to the podcast, whatever. We're out of here. Super.
Beam, beam, beams. I missed it.